Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Republic of Ireland, to be sure. So good to have the secret out. So good to be able to speak about it. So good what God is doing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know the footage of Cork City? You're probably not familiar with Cork City. Who knew? Who's heard of Cork City? Yeah? And who hasn't heard of Cork City until now? Yeah. I couldn't have put Cork City on the map. But what God has done has been unbelievable my whole life until last year. In fact, 2 weeks after Roland and Leanne came to Ken and myself and said, hey, we got this burden, what about it? 2 weeks after that, I was sitting in my parents' living room and my dad just started randomly talking about our ancestry. And he's like, da-dee-da-dee-da, yeah, our Irish ancestor. And I was like, what do you mean our Irish ancestor? Our ancestors were British. And he goes, no, they weren't. They were Irish. My whole life, I had believed that my ancestry was British. And now, 2 weeks after, Cork City comes online in my life for the first time. My dad goes, our ancestry was Irish. And I said, you wouldn't happen to know whereabouts in Ireland, would you? And he goes, aye, the County Cork, like this. For the first time in my life, at the age of 39, I found out that not only is God sending us there, but my ancestry is from that very place. And the river that runs through the heart of Cork City is the River Lee. Not L-E-I-G-H, L-E-E. You got a Chinese river running through the heart of Ireland. I was like, God, you are speaking, you are speaking, you are speaking. And our answer is yes. It doesn't make sense. It makes no sense in the natural that the most isolated city in the world, Perth, Western Australia, would go to the other, literal other side of the world. It's like, God, surely you could use someone a bit closer. But it doesn't always make sense in God. But when he speaks so clearly, we have one choice and one choice alone, and that is to say, yes, we're going. So the church has been established for 14 years, and in some ways it feels like we are just getting started. You know, there's more for us as a church, and there's more for us as a campus, Port Kennedy. And if that's true for the church, then guess what? It's true for you. It's true for you. If you're planted here, if God has positioned you here for this time, for this moment in history, then the grace that's on the whole house is also on your house. It's also on your house. If the body is growing, then guess what? You need to grow. If there's grace on the body to grow and expand, then you need to come into that and under that, because God has planted you here for a reason. And there's more for us, but there's more for you. And you might never literally grow, but we're many parts, one body. And if one goes, there's this sense to which we all go. You know, how do we think the church is going to grow if we, the people of the church, don't grow? How are we going to go to the next level if we don't go to the next level? Because we're one body. There is more. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's more. Turn to your other neighbor, say, there's more for you. Did everyone get blessed just then? Yes, there's more for you. Hey, the problem is we don't always believe it of our own lives, do we? It's easy sometimes to believe it for somebody else. It's easy sometimes to believe it for the person next to you, but not necessarily to believe it for your own life. And this is what I hear the Spirit of God saying to us this morning, to you, the people of Port Kennedy. I haven't preached this message anywhere else. I hear him saying, it is time to get out of the box. Port Kennedy, it is time to get out of the box. In other words, it's time to lift the lid on the limitations that are on your life. It's time to lift the lid on mindsets that have been a limiting factor in your life. The things that you've believed to be true of yourself that are perhaps small, that are perhaps constricting or restraining. It's time to just blow them off. It's time to see those things shattered over your life. It's time to get out of the box. We're all guilty at times for limited thinking. We're all guilty at times of small-minded thinking. We say things about ourselves like, I can't do that. I couldn't possibly do that thing. I'm not that gifted. I don't have that much to offer. I tried that once, but I'm disappointed. Or I tried that once, it was a failure. I don't think I'm the guy to do the thing. I don't think I'm the girl to do the thing, to go to the place. And we all are guilty of that kind of thinking from time to time. Sometimes it's all the time. Sometimes it's just some of the time. And we can feel quite justified in that kind of thinking. Quite justified because of life, because of what's happened, because the experiences that have happened to us. There's just one problem with that kind of thinking. That kind of thinking is nothing like, it's not even remotely close to the voice of Jesus in your life. That kind of thinking is not the voice of Christ in your life. He does not sound to you like limitation. The voice of Christ to you does not sound like limitation. You can't take me to scripture and verse that speaks limitation over your life. You've never heard the preacher on the stage say, turn with me to the book of Limitations, chapter 3. Lamentations, maybe, but limitations, no. He's never said, therefore, brethren, stay small and afraid. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, stay in your corner. Get back in your box. You've never heard the preacher on the stage take you to scripture and verse and preach that over your life because it doesn't exist. It is not there. God in Christ has made a way for you to live free from any and every limitation. He's a victorious king. He has all authority. He is almighty. And when he speaks things to you, he says things like, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. He says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. He says, I'm the living water. The one that partakes in me shall not thirst again. It will become in them a spring welling up to eternal life. This is what the voice of Christ in your life sounds like. So it's time that we get rid of those limitations. It's time we get out of the box. God is constantly seeing more for our lives than we see for our own lives. We see who we are, and we see where we are, and we see the limitations of the place in life that we're at. But God sees beyond where we are. He sees through to who we can be and who we will be if we would just keep following him. We see this really clearly exampled in the life of Simon Peter in scriptures. We know a lot about Simon Peter. We know a lot about who he was through reading the Gospels. And we know that he was a guy that had some limitations. He had a whole lot of limitations. We know that he was prone to putting his foot in his mouth. Who's with Peter on that one? We know that, you know, he had a lot of misguided enthusiasm, some good intentions, but not so much the follow through. Some people called him a wavering reed. Anyone love Peter? Just love Peter. You know, I identify with him. And we also know that before Jesus came along and invaded Peter's life, or Simon's life at that point, we know that he was a fisherman. And fishermen in the day, they were known for being gruff and unruly and unkempt and uncouth. And they were real men's men and boisterous. You know, Simon Peter had a lot of limitations. He had character limitations. He kind of had occupational limitations, situational limitations. And yet when Jesus met Simon for that very first time, they have this incredibly profound exchange that altered the course of his life for the rest of his life. When Jesus says to him in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 42, remember this is the very first time they met, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas, which translated means Peter. Very easy to gloss over this in scripture. Very easy for us to miss the significance of this moment. This is like he changed his name. So what? But this is a profound moment. If this were a movie, it would have epic music playing in the background to let you know you need to pay attention to this scene and this moment, like dun, 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 building tension, nothing like that. But you get the point. Through this moment, Jesus was actually prophesying. Jesus was actually making a prophetic declaration over Simon's life. He says, "You are Simon. Like, I know who you are. I know very well who you are. I know your limitations. I know you're a grubby fisherman. I know you're a little bit all over the shop." But he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, "You will be Peter." And the name Peter means rock. And to the Jewish audience surrounding this moment, they would have instantly understood. They would have instantly known the significance of the moment that was transpiring before them, because they placed great importance on names and naming. And they would have understood, whoa. "You will be Peter" meant you will be rock-like. You will be strong. You will be established. You'll be something that is solid and immovable. You will be a guy that I will build my church upon. You will be one who ministers to many. Jesus saw beyond who he was and spoke prophetically to the person that he would be. Beyond those limitations and declaring a future, declaring a prophetic future of the more that he had always intended that Peter would be. This is the nature of our God. This is the nature of your God this morning. Romans 4:17 tells us this. He said that God, who gives life to the dead, he calls things that are not as though they were. This is the nature of our God. He calls things that are not as though they were. Jesus spoke to a Peter that did not yet exist as if he did. And he accepted him where he was, but he was calling beyond those limitations to the who he would be. And what I want to say to us, Port Kennedy, this morning is that Jesus is wanting to have the same sort of conversation with you. He's wanting to have the same sort of conversation with you, because Jesus sees who you are, but he's speaking to who you will be. Yes, he sees you where you are, and he loves you where you are. Limitations and all, he loves you as you are, but he doesn't want to leave you where you are. He wants to speak to who you can be, and speak to who you will be, and speak to the you that he's always intended that you would be. I want to say to you this morning that your limitations are no limitations to Jesus. I need a loud amen this morning. The things that limit you do not limit him. Finances do not limit the Lord Jesus Christ. He will get a fish to pay your taxes if he needs to. Education does not limit God. The scripture says that he used uneducated men. You know, your past doesn't limit him. He's made a way in Jesus Christ to clear and cancel the debt of your past. Other people's words do not limit God. You are who he says you are. We sung about it this morning. You are who he says you are. Your own words about yourself don't limit you. You are who he says you are. He's a limitless God, and we need to get out of the box, because the God that we serve is a God who is outside of the box. Do I have an amen? You know, it's astonishing to me that I am where I am today. And I don't say that with any sense of pride. I don't say that by any means thinking that I have made it. But the fact that I'm kind of leading the church alongside my husband, the fact that it's little old me doing this thing and being a part of this thing is absolutely astonishing to me, because who knows, I've got some limitations. You know, I'm confession time this morning. I have never, my whole life to this day, been able to string together a regular daily devotional time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can someone just say a loud amen? I just need to remove some guilt and some burden off some people this morning. I've never been able to do that. I struggle with discipline. I am not an early morning person. I'm not a morning person. Those people that are like, wow, it's 7 a.m. I've run 5 kilometers and I've read 7 chapters. And I've done 2 loads of washing and I've put dinner on, and I'm like, 7 a.m., who am I? Where am I? What's the time? What's the day? What planet am I on? You know, like, those people, God bless them. I am not that sort of person. You know, I'm a mum with a boy with a disability. I have average intelligence, not any more than that. I'm jack of all trades and master of none. You know, I have had deep insecurities with regards to confidence and all of those things. I have had all sorts of limitations, and yet I'm walking in more than I could have dreamed or more than I could have imagined, because I just dared to take God at his word. I just dared to believe that there could be more for me. I dared to believe that I could pursue him. I dared to believe that he was speaking things over my life that were not yet. They were speaking them as though they were. At various points in my life, I've had to get out of the box, get out of my own thinking, and lift the lid of my own limitations and smash different attitudes to come into a place of acknowledging that the things that limit me do not limit him. And I want to walk with him. Amen. You know, if we're going to get out of the box, if we're actually going to live out of the box and shed those limitations, it's going to take a commitment from us. It's going to take a commitment from you if you want to live like that. Because entering into the fullness of what Christ has for us and sees for us, it's not a given. It's not like God clicks his fingers in heaven and suddenly we zap into this place that he intended for us. He doesn't zap us into completion. It takes a commitment to following him. We got to, you know, soon after Jesus and Peter had this first encounter where he says, "You are Simon, but you will be Peter." Soon after that, in Matthew 4:19, Jesus gives him this invitation. He says, "Follow me. Follow me and I will make you fish for men." And Simon did. Simon Peter, for the next 3 years, followed Jesus on the daily. He committed to this process of becoming. He committed to this process of growing into the person that Christ intended him to be. It was as he followed that prophecy was fulfilled. It was as he followed that he actually started to shed those limitations. It was as he followed that Simon the fisherman actually became Peter the Rock, no longer just Peter by name, but Peter by nature as well. It wasn't this overnight transformation. It was a process, a commitment to a process. And that process needed to happen because God loved Simon the fisherman, but he could only build his church with Peter the Rock. He loved Simon the fisherman, but he could only build the church with Peter the Rock. And if we want to shed the boxes of our own limitations, we too need to commit to going on the journey of following Jesus. He said, "Follow me and I will make you." And I think he says the same thing to us, the same thing to every person that stuck their hand up for discipleship across these last 2018 years. "Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will show you. Follow me and I will train you. Follow me, I will equip you. I will develop you. I will amaze you at all the things I can do in you and even through you if you would just commit to following me." So with the time we've got left, I'm going to run through 3 elements of this commitment that we're going to have to make if we want to get out of the box and shed limitations. We're going to have to commit to putting more faith in his word than we do in our own. We have to commit to putting more faith in his word than we do in our own. At some point, we just have to decide that 100% Not 99%, not 99.5%, but 100% I agree with the Word of God about everything. Bill Johnson is famous for saying, I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his. Such a powerful quote. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his head about me. I think we have to have that same mentality that the only thing we will bring our agreement to is that which is in alignment with the Word of God and the heart of Christ for us. That's what we bring our agreement to. For as long as you want to make declarations over your own life, declarations like, I can't, or I'm incapable, or I don't think I'm the right person, or I'm not worthy, or there's nothing of significance about me and my life, or I don't have anything good to offer, or whatever that might be for you. For as long as you want to declare those things over your life or hold on to those things in your heart, you will be limited. You will be limited in the call of God. At some point, you just have to make a decision to come into agreement with God about who he says you are. If the scripture says you're loved, if the scripture says you're gifted, if the scripture says you're called and you're chosen and you're appointed and you're liked and you're wanted and you're adopted in, and you've been brought near and you're worthy in Christ, if the scripture says these things, and it does, all of them and more, then your only appropriate response is to agree, to say, yes, I agree. And you have to agree in spite of how you feel. You have to agree in spite of evidence to the contrary. You have to agree in spite of differing opinions. You just have to agree. He is God and he gets the final word in your life. If we want to walk in his ways, we have to agree with his word. The second commitment we have to make if we want to live outside the box is we have to commit to doing a different thing. A different thing. Have you ever heard the definition of stupid? Some people say that the definition of stupid is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Don't beat yourself up this morning. I'm talking to myself. You know, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. Pursuing more in God will very likely mean doing something different. For Peter, he was a fisherman. You know, saying yes to following Jesus meant everything was suddenly different. He would have done so many different things, so many things for the first time. Imagine the first time he cast out a demon, the first time he addressed a crowd, the first time he preached, the first time he laid hands on the sick, the first time he stepped out of the boat. That was different. The first time he walked on water, that was really different. You know, he was used to being in the boat, not outside of the boat. It was different, you know, for Pastor Mark and Mel when they said yes to being the campus pastors. It would have meant so many things were suddenly different. I'm leading this thing now. That's a bit different. Wasn't it, Mel? That was a bit different. That was a bit different. These people are my people. That's a bit different. You know, for me in my own journey, there's been so many things that I've had to do that were different. You know, I'm suddenly in charge. I'm suddenly on this stage. That's a bit different. And see, different things are different. It's very profound this morning. We're going deep this morning. Different things are not the same, you know, different things. And whilst same is comfortable, different can be very uncomfortable. And different can often be very, very scary. But Jesus is probably going to ask you to do something different, serve somewhere different, start something different, go somewhere different, talk to somebody different, lead something, or step up into something different. And it might be uncomfortable. In fact, it will be. Let's just face facts. And it might be scary, but if Jesus is asking you to do it, you've really only got one response. You got to say yes, because it's in embracing the difference that he brings to your life that territory is taken, that you're actually going to see breakthrough come. You're going to take new ground, paradigm shatter in that place, and you gain a new authority in Christ as you embrace the different that he brings to your life. It won't happen if we just need to stay same, same. Comfortable, comfortable. You got to do something different. Final commitment, final point. If you want to live outside of the box this morning, as the singers and musicians come and join me, you got to commit to letting go. You got to commit to letting go. See, whatever you say yes to actually by default determines the things that you need to say no to. Your yes actually predetermines your no. You cannot follow multiple things. You know, scriptures tell us you can't serve two masters, right? You can't follow multiple things. You either follow one or you follow the other. You can't follow both. If I'm sitting at traffic lights, I've got a red car and a blue car in front of me, and one turns left and one turns right. I got to choose which one I'm going to follow. I actually can't follow them both. If I follow the red car, I got to let go of the blue. If I follow the blue car, I got to let go of the red. Peter, when he said yes to following Jesus, it meant a tremendous amount of letting go for him. He let go of career. He let go of livelihood. He let go of what was comfortable. He let go of things that made sense to him. He let go of the areas in his life that meant security to him, and maybe even friendships and relationships in that place. And I can relate to Peter, because in this journey of saying yes to leading the church, saying yes to following Christ, there's been an awful lot of letting go for Ken and I. You know, Roland and Leanne, as they're about to go to court, guess what? They're going to have to let go of so many things. They're going to have to let go. There's been some pursuits that Ken and I have had to let go. We let go of our careers. We let go of our professional qualifications. We let go of some friendships along the way and some insecurities along the way. And we let go of some of the use of our time. And we let go of some of the use of our finances. And I'm not just talking about randomly just letting go and thinking that that level of sacrifice is noble. It's not noble to do it if Jesus hasn't told you to do it. I'm talking about letting go as Christ tells you to let go, saying yes to him, walking in obedience to him. As you journey with him, there will be those let go moments. There might have been things that were okay up until now. Okay for the journey up until now, but to go on the next stage of the journey, Jesus is going to need you to let him go. Commit to letting go. You know, there's more for you. All over this place, just close your eyes. I can feel his presence here. There's more for you. There's more for your family. There's more for your ministry. There's more influence coming. There's more vision coming. There's more strategy coming. He's speaking things over your life that are not as though they were. The same way he said, "You are Peter. You are Peter. You are Peter." To this flaky fisherman that was all over the shop. That same Spirit of Christ speaks to you. He sees more for you than you do for yourself. He sees more for your life. He sees more. Speaking to the unlimited potential that is in you. He's not speaking to who you are, but who you will be. Who you will be. Just commit to following him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.